tonight in Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter number 8, we'll find our text. Bible says, Genesis chapter 8, verse number 1, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assaged." Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you, Father, for the preached word of God we've already heard. And Father, for the Spirit of God we felt in your presence. And Father, I'm thankful that we can come back to the house of God tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us one more time. You'd grace us with your presence. Lord, that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, that you'd speak to the hearts of your people, soften the hearts of your people, convict. And Father, do that work the only that you can do. And we'll thank you and praise you, Lord. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 32, you don't have to turn, but the Bible says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me the days without number." What Jeremiah was telling the people of God, he was saying that it's unnatural, that it's beyond belief, that it's out of place and it's not ordinary to forget God. He says, "Can a maid or a bride forget her ornaments or her attire?" How would a maid, how would a bride on that day that she's been looking for all of her life forget the wedding dress, forget the rings and the jewels and all the array that goes with it? Much more, Jeremiah said, "My people have forgotten me days without number." He's telling the children of Israel that you forgot me so long that I cannot even count the days. It's been so long, I can't remember when you've remembered me. You know, you and I, like the children of Israel in Jeremiah's day, we're prone to wonder, we're prone to forget, we're prone to let things slip our mind, and we're quick to leave God out. But I'm glad tonight we have a God that does not forget. I want to preach on the thought tonight, a God that does not forget. Chapter 8 of Genesis, "And God remembered Noah." I want to see number one, God remembers us in the floods of life. Noah, for 150 days, he was there. He was sailing the abyss. He was out on the waters that had covered the earth. Noah had been tossed. He had been floating there, and it seems like God had forgotten Noah. Noah is facing the greatest storm, the greatest problem, the trial that mankind has ever encountered. As we read this text, it's like Noah was out on the sea, he was out in the abyss, and God completely forgot about Noah. It's as if that God had judged man, and God had sent condemnation to man, and God saw the evil and the violence and the wickedness and the ungodly that was upon the heart of all men. And Noah is found with his family in the midst of the greatest storm that's ever recorded, and God forgets Noah. It seems like he forgets him. Our text verse says, "And God remembered Noah." You know, it doesn't say, and this word "remember," it doesn't mean that Noah had slipped God's mind. It doesn't indicate that God had to recollect his thoughts, or he had to recall where he's placed this man out in the middle of a storm. It's not as if he's sitting there on his throne in heaven and he's asking those cherubims or those holy creatures, angels that are around him, that where's this one that I've placed in the storm? The word "remember" in our text, it's the idea to think upon. It's the idea to look at, to favor, to grace, it's defined as to respond in mercy and grace when one least deserves it. Tonight, I'm glad that we have a Father, this one that remembered Noah, that looks upon us, that favors us, that responds to us, and He graces us when we least deserve it. We see here that Noah had not done anything to earn God's grace. And I want to say tonight, there's nothing I've done or you've done or this church has done to earn and to favor and to get God's attention for God to look and gaze on our way. It gives us that Noah is there. He's sailing through the storms of life. God looks at him. He sees his plight. He knows his position. He sees the problems around, and God begins to throw blessings Noah's way. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, God was looking at, he was gazing, he was favoring, he was blessing, he was sending his mercy and grace Noah's way well before he ever floated the waters that covered the earth. Noah, it's he found grace. It's the word encountered. Noah met grace. It's Noah acquired grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's not physical eyes. The word eyes of the Lord, it's not the visual or able to see or able to look upon, but it also has the meaning of a spring or fountain. I want to say tonight, I found this grace, and you found this grace, the same place Noah found the grace, in the eyes of the Lord. Let me put it this way. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. At the foot of the cross where Jesus bled and died, the one that they sung about just a minute ago, that's where we found this grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was remembered. God looked upon, God graced, God favored, God threw the blessings toward Noah in the flood. Let me say, in the flood, when your world is incurable, God will remember us. Notice in verse number 17 of chapter 7, the Bible says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift above the earth, and the waters prevailed, and they were increasingly great upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Everything that Noah knew, his extended family, the very land itself, his own abilities, his own capabilities, is covered, is incurable, it's gone, it's wiped away, never to be seen again. And Noah finds himself in the greatest storm that's ever recorded, and it seems like it's incurable. We find 150 days, God hadn't spoke to Noah. For 150 days, God had not sent Noah his grace with presence. And it seems like for 150 days, God was nowhere to be found. Maybe for 150 days, there was no church service. 150 days, there was no singing or assembling himself together. 150 days, there was no revival meetings or special singings. You may feel like that tonight. The place that you're in is an incurable situation. It seems like the problems you face, the trials you face, the flood of troubles that you face, I want to assure you tonight that God has not forgotten about you. He hasn't took his eyes off you. He hasn't forsaken you. He won't abandon you. God remembered Noah. We see Noah's world was incurable. There was nothing that Nothing that his family could do to cure this situation. It was irreversible. He was in despair. But thank God, God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah when his world was incurable. God remembered Noah through a word of invitation. Let me say this. Before Noah was ever in the flood, before Noah ever entered that ark, God was with him. He was with him before the flood, during the flood, and after the flood. We see it's through a word of invitation. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen righteous before me in this generation." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He built this ark. He was doing God's business. He was being obedient to God. He established this covenant with Noah. Noah finds a grace in his eyes. God invites him. He says, the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou." Noah builds it. And we see that the Lord is leading Noah. He's guiding Noah through a word of invitation. I don't know what lies ahead for my family. And I don't know what lies ahead for me and this church and the country, and I don't even know what lies ahead for your family. But I can sure that the Lord's telling us that it'll be okay, that everything will be fine, that I'll be riding with you, that I'll never forsake you, to come on in, to come where I'm at, to leave for the place that you're at, and to come where I'm at. It's a word of invitation tonight. He's inviting Noah. Noah's facing an incurable situation. He's inviting Noah through his word. And he's saying to us tonight, we need to come to where he's at. We can come tonight for salvation if you're here. You're lost. You never received Christ. You can come. He's inviting. You can come tonight and be sanctified, set apart. Have that desire to serve God. It's a word of invitation to come. We can come tonight and surrender our life, surrender our family, surrender all our being to this one that we'll remember. God remembers Noah. He favors Noah. He doesn't forget about him, but he begins to throw blessings and throw mercy and throw grace and kindness Noah's way. And he does it when it's an incurable situation through a word of invitation, and he offers Noah immunity. Notice in chapter 7, verse 16, the Bible says, "And they that went in male and female and all flesh, as God has commanded them, and the Lord shut him in." He offers this word of invitation to come. Noah, it's going to be an incurable situation. There's nothing that you, your family, your abilities can do about it. But I'm inside this ark. I'm inviting you to come where I'm at. I'm going to be with you all the way, and I'm going to shut you in. I'm going to keep, what he's saying, I'm going to keep the world from getting to you and from you getting to the world. God shuts him in. He makes Noah immune to all the things that's going on around him. You know, it looks like a bad situation in our country, in the world itself. But I'm thankful tonight for a child of God. They may get to our flesh and they may get to our mind, but they never can get to our soul. We're safe and secure. Noah is being preserved. Noah is being protected. He's sheltered here in the ark. It's a picture of salvation. God initiates. God invites. Noah responds. God shuts him in. God shields him. And now Noah and his entire family finds a place of refuge. I'm glad tonight there's refuge in Jesus Christ. This door is shut. It's a partition. A partition that Satan, any demon of hell, the world itself can't penetrate. This ark, this door was not only a partition, but it was pitched. It was pitched inside and out. A pitch, a type of the Holy Ghost. Noah's in the ark. Noah is in Christ. The Holy Ghost is inside, and the Holy Ghost is being manifested outwardly. Let me say, that's a good place to be tonight. Safe in God's arms. Sheltered in Christ. Being led and secured by the sweet Holy Ghost. Being led through this world. Being pitched inside and out. Let me say tonight that God saw the wickedness of man. It was a great wickedness, an evil wickedness. It was upon the heart and the mind of all. Judgments came. Man and every living being will be destroyed. Condemnation has come. Man has no hope. But I'm thankful that Romans 8 is in our Bible. The Bible says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. Tonight, since we're in Jesus Christ, in that ark pitched, that partition is shut, there's nothing this world or Satan can do to you and I. This door's open. Christ is inviting. He tells Noah to come thou and all thy family. He saves and he gives immunity. He gives immunity from death. He gives immunity from hell and the grave. He gives immunity from the world, and he even gives him immunity from himself. If only we'll enter in. This door is open now. This door is being opened as an invitation for us as a church, us as individuals, maybe you as a lost a child that has never repented, to come. God's inviting. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. God remembers Noah in the flood. He looks at Noah. He begins to grace Noah. He favors Noah. He begins to throw mercy and grace upon Noah, blessings. But he also remembers us in our flesh. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 5, chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25. Noah finds an incurable situation, and God graces him, remembers him, begins to throw blessings his way. He remembers him in the flood, but I see also God remembers us in our flesh. Psalms chapter 25, verse number 7. The Bible says, actually verse number 6, remember thou, Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to the mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. The psalmist, this is David, he's asking the Lord not to remember the sins of his youth. I think we all can say amen to that. I'm glad God doesn't remember the offenses, my past mistakes, my past failures. But God forgets those sins. One writer said, those offenses that we remember with repentance, God forgives. Charles Spurgeon said about this verse, the bones of our youthful feasting at Satan's table will stick painfully in our throats when we're old men. You know, our past sins and our sins we made as a young person, or maybe a young and mature in Christ, they may come back on us, but God has forgotten them. He asked the Lord, remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember me for thy goodness, O sake, O Lord. David, like you and I, he's saying, God, I've repented. I've come and I've asked you to save me. I've found this place of immunity. I've found this place that you can cure in an incurable world. But I'm just asking you not to remember those things that I've done. I've failed, my past mistakes, my past sins, my past transgressions. But God, because of your sake, God, because you're merciful and your kindness and your faithful and your goodness, remember me. I'm glad tonight that God remembers us even though we're flesh. Despite our flesh, even though we've failed God, even though we've fallen short, and even though we are prone to wonder, God will remember us. You say, preacher, God remembers me because I've been faithful. God remembers me because I live a good life. I'm an outstanding Christian. I'm devoted. I'm sanctified. And I live a holy life. I don't drink. I don't chew. Or I don't hang out with those that do. Let me say tonight, God doesn't bless us because of our goodness, but he blesses us because of his goodness. We're no different from the children of Israel. They were out in the wilderness, been delivered from Egypt. They were murmuring yet God blessed them. They were griping, yet God blessed them. They were doubting, yet God blessed them. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He gave them rattle from the rock. He gave them heat at night. He gave them shade in the day. And even though they didn't deserve it, or even though they didn't earn it, God had favored them and blessed them and remembered them for his goodness sake. God remembers us tonight despite our flesh. You say tonight, God remembers me because what I do for him. I want to say tonight, if my goodness and my living right is based on God's blessings, I'm in trouble. And if your goodness is based on his blessings, you're in trouble. But he's protecting us, and he's providing for us, and he favors us. It's not depending on our holiness or our high morals, but it's depending on his sovereignty. I want to say tonight, we've done nothing to merit God's favor. But he remembers us in spite of our flesh. In Psalms chapter 78, God's children had left Israel. They're in the wilderness. They're ungrateful. God's children is fussing. They're fighting. They're fuming. And they begin to ask God a question. They ask God this question. They said, can God, they ask it sarcastically, can God furnish a table in a wilderness? What they were saying is, can God stay this pandemic? Can God still save in this wicked and perverse generation? They were saying, can God deliver us from the flood of troubles and from the flood of trials that seem incurable? Can God really do what he says he can do? Listen to his response in Psalm 78, verse 37. For their heart was not right with them, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, that's the Lord, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Here it is. For he remembered that they were but flesh. God didn't bless his children because they were obedient, but despite their flesh. Because of his compassion, because he was full of goodness, because he's a sovereign God, God remembered them. I'm just glad tonight God remembers me. He remembers me in the flood. He remembers me, I'm just flesh. But let me say thirdly, I'm glad he remembered fallen man. Luke chapter 23, we come to the cross. There at the cross, there's three crosses. These three crosses, the one on the left, I'm not familiar with. The one on the right, I haven't been acquainted with and don't know much about. But the cross in the middle, I've met face to face. There in the midst of these two thieves, these two malefactors, Jesus is in the middle. He's in the midst. That's where he desires to be tonight. That's where he ought to be found in our lives, in the middle. Is he in the middle of your life? Or is he in the closet buried? Is he forefront and center? Or is he bringing up the rear? There at Calvary, we find Jesus Christ in the midst. John on the Isle of Patmos, he hears a voice, and he turns around to see this one speaking, and he finds one as the Son of Man in the midst of the seven candlesticks. We find in there's fire and there's flame in a burning fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is thrown, but King Nebuchadnezzar says, but did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst. I'm glad tonight Jesus is in the midst. And he's in the midst of Calvary. One of those thieves at Calvary begins to rail upon him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. He's saying, if you be the Christ. He had no desire to make God his Lord, but he just wanted to save himself. But the other began to rebuke him. The other said, "We indeed justly, for we receive our due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." You see, he didn't say, "Get us off the cross." This other one, he didn't say, "Get me down and out of this situation." But his next words was, "Lord, remember me." He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus didn't say, "I'll remember you when." He didn't say, "I'll remember you in the future." He didn't say, "I'll remember you if." He didn't say, "I'll remember you later on down the road." But instead, our Savior said, "Today, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Lord, remember me, look upon me, grace me, favor me, bless me." And God didn't say, "You're fallen man, you're nothing but flesh, you've caused this flood to come in your life." He said, "I'll remember you today." One preacher said about this text, he said the malefactor was repenting, believing, and receiving at the same time. He was repenting. He said, "We receive the due rewards of our deeds." He was believing when he said, "When thou comest in thy kingdom." You know, for one to have a king, he must be the king. A kingdom, he must be the king. And he was receiving because our Lord said, "Today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let me say tonight, I'm glad God remembers fallen man. I'm glad that time I recalled or called upon him, when I, that hour, that date, that time, when I was under conviction in the presence of God, and I fell under deep conviction, I said, "Lord, remember me. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me." And he didn't say, "Wait, but you've done," or "Wait, that I will." But he said, "Today. Today, today's the day of salvation." God remembers fallen man. God remembers us in our flesh. God remembers us in the floods of life. You may be here and you say, "God, I'm going through some tough times. I'm going through some of the storms of life that seems like they're incurable from my point of view. I'm going through some times that it seems like there's no way that I can come through or get out." I'm glad tonight God will never forsake you. He will remember you. It's not that he's forgotten, but it means he'll begin to bless. He'll begin to look your way. He'll begin to favor. He'll begin to throw mercy. He'll begin to throw grace. He'll begin to grace you with his presence. You may be here tonight. You just want to come to this altar and say, "God, thank you for remembering me." You may be here tonight and you've never received this free gift of salvation. You may want to come tonight and say, "Lord, remember me. Lord, save me. Lord, look upon me and forgive me." Whatever your need is tonight, we're all standing. This altar's open. You can come. I'm going to ask the Drakes if you'll come and sing a song of invitation.